How far to trust polls in divining what the presidential election will look like in November is murkier than most years. But some interesting trends, particularly in Alaska, have caught the attention of KUAC's two political commentators, Nate Bauer, director of the UA Press, and Alexander Hirsch, UAF political science professor.
A lot of people come up to me and say, sure, Biden is up in the polls, but in 2016, Hillary Clinton was up in the polls the entire campaign season. And then she lost anyway, given the experience they had in 2016, where they felt confident they could predict a result, and then they got bait and switched. I do think it would be worthwhile to talk about the difference between what the numbers looked like during that time and versus what the numbers look like now, because I'm just looking right now at the average polling lead in presidential elections by month. And this is from Gore v. Bush to Kerry v. Bush to Obama, McCain, Obama, Romney, Clinton, Trump, and Biden, Trump. And you can compare all of those different candidates and how they were doing throughout those campaigns leading up to those presidential elections. And it's true that throughout the campaign season, Hillary Clinton was up on Trump, but her lead really seesawed, right? So you know, she would be up 6. And then in the following media cycle, she'd only be up 2.5 or 3. And then she'd go back up to 6 or almost 6, and then back down to 3. And that's what her lead looked like. And amongst pollsters, there is a kind of consensus that essentially the 2016 election was won by undecideds. There was a large number of undecided voters who in the last 2 weeks of the campaign swung in favor of Trump. And in particular, you know, undecided voters in these electoral college states, these swing states, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan. And basically that explains how Trump won. It also explains why it didn't show up in the polling data. Now, to compare that to Biden v. Trump now, I mean, Biden's average polling lead right now is +9. Now, +9 is a shocking lead when compared to the last 20 years of elections. Bush, the greatest lead that Bush ever had over Gore during that campaign was about 6.5%. People think about, you know, Obama and the way Obama won over McCain in that presidential election, but he never got up to even 8 points above McCain. So Biden's lead really is formidable and unprecedented in the last 20 years. And as such, I think people should pay attention to the difference between 2020 and 2016. It's apples and oranges.
I agree with most of what you said. I think a few things, you know, just kind of context and caveats. In 2016, Hillary Clinton did win the popular vote. People are saying that throughout the election cycle, Hillary Clinton had a lead in nationwide popular polling. The results of the popular vote in 2016 are pretty consistent with the 3 to 5 point polling averages gap that you're talking about. So that's number one. Obviously, the Electoral College and small percentages in a few states in the Electoral College was the reason that Hillary Clinton's not president now. And I think that it's important to recognize, in addition to everything you said, Alex, I think it's important to recognize that Joe Biden's also got 7 to 10 point advantages in specific state polls of Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Michigan, which are kind of the states that we're talking about in terms of states that voted for Barack Obama in both 2008 and 2012 and voted for Trump in 2016. So when people are complaining, which it's certainly their option to do, about being surprised or, you know, unexpected things happening in 2016 after they had paid close attention to polls, I think it's important to identify which polls they think were wrong and, yeah, what the differences are, because you're right that there are major differences. I guess the other caveat that I would say is that the polls of June and July of 2020 are not meant to be forecasts for what the polls on election day are going to be. There's still a significant amount of time between now and then. And I don't think that anybody's making attempts right now to forecast. I'm certainly not suggesting that the difference or even who's ahead right now is going to be the same as what it is in November. I think that it's just important to understand that there are major differences between 2016 and today, and the ones that I would point to as the most significant, at least in terms of trying to understand what are possible scenarios for November 3rd and 4th are state-specific polls in swing states. And those get asked and surveyed less often than like a big nationwide representative poll. But I guess I would make the argument that they're maybe more significant or maybe more important in terms of trying to understand what is likely to happen in the general election.
There's these two new polls out which gauge Alaskans' present preferences. I mean, these are polls from just the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks or so. There's the Alaska Survey Research poll, and then there's the Public Policy Polling poll. And both of them look at both the presidential election and the U.S. Senate election in Alaska. And Alaska Survey Research has Trump at 49%, Biden at 48%. Whereas the Public Policy Polling poll has Trump at 48 and Biden at 45. And it's interesting to see those numbers, for me anyway. It's too early to forecast anything. But these numbers are surprisingly close for Alaska. I mean, in Alaska, you know, Alaska has voted in 14 presidential elections with our three electoral votes. And only once has Alaska actually gone for a Democrat. And that was Lyndon B. Johnson in 1964 in his landslide victory over Barry Goldwater. And listeners may recall that in that particular election, Lyndon B. Johnson won 61.1% of the popular vote, which was the first time that had happened since 1820. I mean, in terms of largest share of the popular vote. Now, it's been suggested that landslide victories aren't really possible anymore in American politics, right? That by virtue of polarization and different media landscapes and different cultures and different, you know, demographic shifts, that it's becoming less and less likely for something like that level of popular vote to be achieved by any given candidate. But how do you read these polls and what do you see in them? Obviously, these are only two polls. Ideally, you have a lot more, you know, many more polls. I think the Alaska Survey Research poll polled about 750 people. That can be an adequate sample size, empirically speaking. But I mean, how much stock do you place in them and what's your analysis?
Well, I think the most significant thing to me is that there's not a great deal compared to larger scale national polling. There's not a great deal of undecideds represented in either of those two polls you cite. So I actually am interested in the fact that those two polls are only like Trump plus one and Trump plus three. I guess I expect Alaska to vote for Donald Trump. Alaska's got a pretty strong track record of voting for Republican presidential candidates. The thing that surprises me a little bit about those poll results is that, you know, Alaska's also got kind of a track record of voting for third party candidates. Alaska is typically one of the strongest states for people like Gary Johnson and Ross Perot. Those are candidates that Alaska is typically like their first, second, or third best state in terms of percentage that they get in general election. So Trump 49, Biden 48, that only gives us like 3 points available for undecideds that will back a third party candidate. You know, when you compare them to national polls, like national polls, I think are very roughly, I think over the last month, they've been in the range of like Biden 50, Trump 40, and then like 10% undecided. That, you know, is obviously there's a lot of wiggle room there. And I think that that's why people have been cautious about the national polls so far, because 10% undecided is a pretty large amount. And I think a lot of people suspect that a decent percentage of that are sort of shy Trump voters who voted for Trump in 2016 and might be likely to do so again in November, but for now are kind of on the sidelines because of the multiple kind of crises that we find ourselves in as a country. And so they're a little bit reluctant to declare their support for Trump. But again, like I said, I sort of expect a decent proportion of that 10% to come home, so to speak, to Trump in November. And I think that that is maybe different when you're looking at these Alaska polls, because they, again, they don't show that same large percentage of undecideds.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I think there will have been far more undecideds leading up to the election at the presidential level in 2016 than in the 2020. And that bears out in these polls. But what's interesting is you look at the U.S. Senate race, and there's lots of undecideds there, according to these two polls in the state of Alaska, right? So, for instance, the public policy polling poll has Sullivan at 39 and Al Gross at 34%. Huge number of undecideds there, according to the public policy polling poll. And even in the Alaska Survey Research poll, which shows fewer undecideds, there's still many. They've got Sullivan at 53% and Gross at 40%, which is a significant.
Plus 13%.
And there they have Sullivan over 50%. Right. So a lot, a much, you know, stronger result for Sullivan in that poll, something to give the Sullivan camp, you know, so a boost of confidence. Whereas in the other poll, they found quite a few undecideds compared to in the presidential numbers. I noticed a big difference in what are your numbers doing right at the very end? Are your numbers trending up or are they trending down right before the election? That's also an important factor, it seems. I mean, Clinton's were coming down, you know, going into the election. And if you ask the Clinton campaign what happened, they say it's the Comey, the FBI director.
That's not just the Clinton campaign. I think that there were some pretty significant and sophisticated academic studies that suggested that exact same thing. I don't think that that's just the Clinton campaign. The polling, the shifts that happened right before the election concurred pretty significantly with that news cycle of the reopening of the email investigation. Again, I think that there's some viable objective research that suggests that that's true.
And so her numbers are coming down. Then there's that story right before the election. But look at the other elections, right? Look at Obama v. McCain. You know, there was some seesawing in Obama's popularity over McCain. But in 2 months, 3 months leading up to the election, Obama's numbers are skyrocketing from +2 to almost, you know, +7. You know, he's like going up, 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 up. He's ascendant. Same with George W. Bush in the 2000 election, right? Bush's numbers are coming up. They'd come up from +2 to they almost a full 1.5% a month, 2 months right before the election. So that's just another one of the many caveats that we're trying to, you know, frame up here. But, you know, Biden's numbers, they've been ascendant for the last 2 months, 6 weeks. He was at +10. Now he's at +9, actually. Now what's going to happen, right? Is that number going to come down, 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 down? Is he going to be a +6 2 months from now? Or is the number going to hover at around +9, +10? Is it going to go up? Is it going to be a +12? I think, you know, watching that is another predictor. Is what direction are the numbers going in?
I guess, actually, you say it's +9. I think that that's basically what it was like yesterday or the day before. I'm looking at the 538 page right now. It has it at like +7.8. So I don't think that that's a big enough shift to say that there's like a trend line that's like tightening the race. But if you're looking for where those numbers are moving, I guess I would say, like I said before, I would expect, you know, it's a long time period between now and November, but I would expect things to tighten up if there aren't big significant changes in terms of the circumstances in the national conversation.
Yeah.
Nate Bauer directs UA Press. Alexander Hirsch is political science professor at UAF.